97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
It sits above the mantle on a couple rusty nails, and it's worth a bunch of money, but it damn sure ain't for sale. The good Lord only knows all the stories it could tell. Granddaddy's gun. He bought it new out of a Sears and Roebuck catalog.
Hello and welcome to another edition of Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors.
You could buy guns out of a Sears cover?
You could. Back in the day, you could. Tony Colombo here with producer Carl Middleman.
Pew, pew.
And my partner, Bo Matthews. Bo, this song pulls a couple of heartstrings, doesn't it?
It really does, man. It really does. I don't have my granddaddy's gun, but what a great tribute from Blake Shelton.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, granddaddy's gun.
As you know.
Yeah, you used to buy a house from, like, the Sears catalog.
There you go.
I have my wife's grandfather's gun.
Nice. That's cool. Wow.
Classic.
Yeah. Bo, if you remember when we went last year to that event for the Joshua Chamberlain Society and got a chance to talk to Corporal Todd Nicely, which was awesome. We need to get Todd back on the show very, very soon. It's been a while since we had a chance to catch up with him. But at that event, I was shooting my granddaddy's gun, that Ithaca shotgun that a couple people really were taking interest in. That was one of my grandpa's guns. He was a big, you know, he was a Marine. He was in World War II. He was a big hunter. It's cool to have those moments. And that song, I could hear you as it was starting. I could hear you do the, oh yeah.
Uh-huh.
That's a good one.
I gave a list of songs to Carl, about a month ago, and man, he's using them.
Oh,
he's,
yeah.
Sifting through the, the list.
Hey. I am here to serve.
We got to keep it. On topic with the music here on Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. So we have got another great packed show for you today. We're going to talk to our buddy Mike Marfell. It was a great week of weather. It's not so great now, but it was earlier in the week. It was beautiful.
Rain's good for fishing.
Yeah, that's, you know what? It's not bad for fishing. Mm-hmm. That's certainly true. I think the nice weather, the turnaround from the terrible cold of a few weeks ago has really got people thinking about getting back outside and getting back out on the water and hopefully doing a little camping and hiking and fishing and all that good stuff. Turkey season for the hunters is right around the corner. I'm going to talk to our buddy Tim Chelsvik here in a couple weeks about that. But, we're going to have Mike on to talk about fishing. We are also going to replay a segment. Bo helped me out this week. I hosted the Dave Glover Show on 97.1 FM Talk earlier this week. And
for now.
During that, yeah, exactly. What day is it? We were joined on that show by State Representative Nick Schroer, and there was a whole lot going on in the Missouri legislative session regarding Missourians' Second Amendment rights. There's the SAPA Act. There is a bill that Representative Schroer is co-sponsoring that would allow conceal and carry certificate holders to carry guns on public transit like Metrolink and buses and things like that, and there are some other Second Amendment bills that they are working on. So we got into all of that with Representative Schroer. So in a few minutes, we're going to replay that segment for you because there's a lot of really great information that is possibly going to impact your Second Amendment rights here in the state of Missouri. So we'll play that for you again in a couple minutes. And right now, we'll start the show the way we always do with our friend Aaron Tarlow, the owner of Southern Armory. Aaron, how's it going, dude?
Good. How are you guys?
Cannot complain, my friend.
Aaron, do you have any grandfather guns at home?
Yeah, I do.
I'm sure you do. I'm sure you do. So, as I mentioned, in the next segment, when we replay this conversation that Bo and I had with Nick Schroer, we talk a whole lot about the local issues, what Missouri lawmakers are working on as far as the Second Amendment's concerned. Aaron, I wanted to, while we had a few minutes with you, touch on some news that came out of Washington this week that would affect everybody in the country. And it's a topic that we have discussed before on this show, but it's something that not very many people do talk about or even know about. And that is, a group of Democratic senators this week urged President Biden to take executive action to stop ghost guns in the United States. The statement that they issued and gave to the president said, "We request that you immediately direct the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, and Explosives to regulate these firearms under the Gun Control Act and ensure that they are subject to a background check." So, Aaron, explain to those who don't know what a ghost gun is, and let me know what you think about this this suddenly, seemingly out of nowhere, push by Democratic senators to have the president target ghost guns.
Yeah, so a ghost gun is simply a gun that you're able to build yourself. This could be, you know, you've got a machine, you're a machinist, and so you've decided, hey, I know how to build a receiver. And you go ahead and you build a receiver, you buy all the parts that you need to put that gun together, and that's the end of that. So the other thing that a ghost gun is they have basically receivers that just need to be milled out still. And so when you mill it out, and they make kits, but you need some expertise and you need some equipment to do this. So this is not like, you know, any Joe Blow can do it. It is, I don't want to call it easy, but it's not like anybody can just go and do it. So like AKs, they give you flats and you need a brake. And then a brake just basically bends the metal for you, and you need to know where to bend it and the degree to bend it to. And then once you're done, you have to temper that metal to make it hard. And then you have to install like the trunnions and the trigger fire control group and all this other stuff with ARs. You get guys that are using like upright drill presses with jigs. Some guys have like CNC machines, and they finish milling out the fire control group and anything else that needs to be done. And then they coat it, and then they start putting it together. So this is not like as easy necessarily as they make it sound. And then a lot of these individuals, I don't know if I should say a lot, but we do see them in the store, and they come in, and they're like, hey, this is my first time trying to build it, and it's not working right. Can you give me a hand? And then you go and you kind of look at it and you measure it. And they're really, I don't want to say they're hard to diagnose, but they're not super easy to figure out, hey, you didn't do this or this. And so I don't build them. I've done an AK, but the ones that I've seen that people have the most issue with are like the handguns. So it's difficult. Let's just say that.
Aaron, I was under the impression that you could go to a store like Tactical Bleep. TJ Kurgan has got that store, and he always talked about having, you know, it's, I don't know, 245 parts to an AK or an AR, and he sells 242. Like there was something that he didn't sell to qualify him as a gun salesman. So it's not like a kit car that you can, you know, you'd have to file, you know, for a certain title. It's not like that. You can't just go and bolt on all the parts that you need. You actually do have to do some of this milling. Is that correct?
Yeah, you have to mill it, and so at a certain point, it's just cheaper to go buy the lower receiver,
right.
than to sit here and mess with it.
You really, really want to have
serial number,
right? And Aaron, the whole point of this is: are ghost guns a real problem? Is this a thing that we're seeing used in crimes? And it just seems very strange. It seems like they're just, you know, maybe it's low-hanging fruit, another way to get under the skin of the gun crowd, or, you know, just take another easy group of guns off the streets or something. It just seems weird to me that they're targeting ghost guns. Are they even really that popular?
So I don't think they're they're not overly popular with the common person. Like I said, the person that's going to do this is somebody who's definitely in to firearms. They probably own a bunch of them to begin with, and they've acquired them legally. So, yeah, I'm with you. This is just low-hanging fruit. This is a talking point. The term ghost gun
scary.
It sounds scary, mm-hmm. right? Where, you know, the reality is in, like, industry, it's, you know, we call it an 80% lower, right? You got to finish this lower. And, you know, the person that's brand new coming into this isn't going to get into it. This is somebody who's just not a casual shooter that's going to do this. This is somebody who's into mechanically building stuff and has some tooling at their disposal to do it. So,
do you think the wisdom of our government thinks that ghost guns also include guns where the serial numbers have been ground off or you know, filed off? Could they be thinking that that's also the same thing? Because
it's but I could see somebody trying to conflate the two, but it's technically not. Yeah.
And that's already illegal. That's already a felony.
Right.
Of course.
I mean, enforced, if you're worried about people removing serial numbers from guns when they do it, then you need to charge them. And you need to follow through.
Yeah. It's once again, it just seems like it's something that they could do that they think that maybe a lot of people won't care about, kind of like the bump stock thing, like, oh, we don't care about bump stocks, let them have it. Right. But it's another thing on their resume. It's another thing that they can put in an ad, a political ad, and they can say that, hey, we got the ghost guns off the streets.
Right.
Aaron, before we let you go, what's the latest at Southern Armory? Are you guys still, and speaking of building your own guns, do you guys still sell the gun kits if somebody wants to do that themselves?
Yep. So we just got the lower kits in, lower receiver kits in. So it's literally everything to put together a complete lower for your AR. It's butt stock, buffer tube, buffer spring, whole nine yards. You can come in.
Serial number
those.
Two.
We have. Say what?
Serial number
Is there
two.
A serial number on there.
Yeah, there's a serial number, so you got to have a background check. We have those for the AR-10, and we have those for the AR-15, and they are moving. So luckily, we have a decent stash of them that we can still get a hold of. So, come in and grab those. We're working on getting uppers and upper receivers and barrels and things like that too. But, it's just kind of the market is the way it is right now. And it's very brisk. So we're back to, selling stuff right off the list. Like we were, about 6 months ago, 9 months ago, because, COVID and everything else. So waiting for kind of the market to heat up on the high-capacity magazines. I see that as the next big thing. So we have those in stock right now. They're normal pricing. So I'd get them now, not wait for the panic where then the wholesalers and the manufacturers, jack up pricing two or three times. Just
That's
like
good advice.
Same with ammo,
Yep.
So you can come in and find us. We're 1 mile east of 270-44 at 9901 Watson Road. And find us on Facebook at Southern Armory and Second Amendment News Podcast and SouthernArmory.com.
SouthernArmory.com.
That's SouthernArmory.com.
And that is the owner of SouthernArmory.com and Southern Armory itself, Aaron Tarlow. Aaron, always great to talk with you, buddy. We'll see you same time next week.
Yep. See you next week. Bye.
All right. Let's take a quick break. And when we get back, as I mentioned, Bo and I got a chance to earlier this week talk to State Representative Nick Schroer about a whole lot of issues that they are working on, bills that they're working on in the Missouri legislative session. I can't talk anymore. So let's just go to break and we'll play that for you when we
Where's
get back.
Monster?
It's Second Amendment Radio in the Great Outdoors.
There's a shot up stop sign on 49 that me and Billy Joe took out one night with Granddaddy's gun.
Hey, I can't find nothing on the radio. Y'all turn to that station.
Welcome back to Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. As I mentioned there as we went to break earlier this week, I hosted the Dave Glover Show on 97.1, and Bo joined me for part of that show, and we talked to State Representative Nick Schroer about a lot of things that they are working on in the state capitol that would affect your Second Amendment rights. So we're going to replay that interview for you right now. Bo, you know, we've talked a lot on this show about the move that the Dave Glover Show has upcoming to KMOX. The DGS is moving to our sister station, KMOX, on March 22nd. And
huge.
Mark Reardon from KMOX is going to be moving over here to 97.1 FM Talk. The only change time-wise for the DGS is we'll be starting an hour earlier, so we'll be on from 2 to 6 over there at KMOX. But, you know, Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors, your and I's show, have been on KMOX for a long time. So
I have a little bit of a
pre-existing connection to KMOX. You could, of course, hear Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors every Saturday here on 97.1 at 3 o'clock. And on Sundays on KMOX, depending on if there's a sporting event, a baseball game, a basketball game, or whatever, if there's no sports, it's typically on at noon. If there are sports, it's typically on at like 6 o'clock in the evening. But you can hear Second Amendment Radio in both of those places. You've been with Second Amendment Radio now, Bo, for how long? Is it been over a year? Probably well over a year, right?
I think it has. And I do want to point out that we had so much fun on the show last weekend and on the podcast exclusive. If anybody that's listening is in the RV world or entertaining getting into the RV world, we talked to the president of the St. Louis Gateway, Midwest Gateway, St. Louis RV Association, and he was fantastic. Mm-hmm. And Warren was his first name. I forget his last. Warren Patton. And what a great guy. And it was so candid because there's so many questions. People dream of an RV, but they don't know. So I would direct anybody to go to the radio.com app and go listen to that podcast, because there's a lot to it. And we dig deep, especially in the podcast exclusive.
Rach, does the RV lifestyle appeal to you at all?
It does, actually.
Yeah?
I think it would be fun.
I love it. I
don't know if I could go full RV, like my primary residence, I think it would be really, really cool to have one.
It could be my primary residence, I think. Sue? RV lifestyle? Nah, I didn't think so.
I have to plug my plumbing in somewhere. You see what I'm saying?
You do have to plug it in somewhere, but you still have it. You still have your bathroom and your own shower. They even have the stackable washer and dryers in there now and full
kitchens.
Well,
that's nice. I don't want to plug in my plumbing. Yeah. I will go with you for a week, right? Two weeks. Okay,
And for the record... Anybody that's entertained the idea of a tiny home, these big monster Class A RVs are three times the size of these tiny homes. So you might want to go that way.
No kidding.
Yeah.
So join Bo and I every weekend on Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. And on that show, we talk about camping and hunting and fishing, and also a lot about gun rights and Second Amendment rights. And there's a lot of news happening here in the state of Missouri revolving around the Second Amendment. And that is why I wanted to have Bo on. And our friend Newsmaker Nick, State Representative Nick Schroer, joins us on the line now. Always great to talk with you, Representative. How are you?
I am wonderful. Thank you guys for having me on again. Just to warn you, we are in the middle of session right now. We're probably going to go late this evening. So if you hear a bell ringing, that's beckoning me back to the House floor. But thank you guys for taking time out and having me on again.
We'll listen for the bell. And do you have to run immediately when the bell rings? How does that work? Is it like school? Like the bell rings and you have 30 seconds to get in your...
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It's very much like school in the state capitol.
I like it. So one of the things that we've talked about on Second Amendment Radio, but haven't talked about here, I don't think, on the Dave Glover Show yet, is the SAPA bill, the Second Amendment Preservation Act, that was passed by the Missouri House. I know you're a big supporter of this. Mm. Basically, it would protect Missourians' Second Amendment rights from possible laws that could be passed in Washington, D.C. by President Biden or the Democratic Congress that would infringe on those Second Amendment rights. Can you tell us, get into some of the details about SAPA and why you think it's right for Missouri?
Yeah, so the Second Amendment Preservation Act, I've been a co-sponsor, I believe, ever since I came here to the state capitol in 2017. It got to the House floor. We passed it out last year under Trump, so it's not just a Joe Biden bill that has been filed. This has been around for many years. And actually, before my time, this bill was passed by now Senator Burleson from the Springfield area, but it was vetoed by Governor Nixon, a Democrat, several years back. But what this bill essentially would do would say, if the federal government wants to pass restrictions, unlawful infringement on your Second Amendment rights, they can do so. But they're not going to come in the state of Missouri using our men and women in blue, law enforcement officers, paid for by the Missouri taxpayer, in order to enact these unlawful infringements and take away your guns, ammunition, or even in any type of accessory. So essentially, that's what it is. I know that there were some concerns with supremacy clause violations, but this has nothing to do with striking it down or not honoring these things. It's just saying, look, if you want to pass these unlawful restrictions, go ahead and do that. But you're going to use your people in order to effectuate those pieces of legislation. So right now, it's been passed as one of the first bills that we passed out of the House. You know, when we have Beto O'Rourke indicating, heck yes, we're coming for your guns. I don't want to get you guys in trouble with the FCC. So I had to PG that. But when he said, yeah, we're coming after your guns, we're coming after your AR-14s, I think it's definitely time to stand up, especially when President Biden has indicated he's going to make Beto O'Rourke his gun czar. So we are we're waiting for the Senate to take that up. It'll probably happen after spring break. We have a spring break next week. So I think right after we come back, we'll definitely see the Senate taking up some of these pieces that the House has sent to him.
Go ahead, Bo.
Hey, Nick, a question for you. As far as the HB 52 allowing concealed carrying of firearms on public transportation systems and transporting non-functional or unloaded firearms on public buses, do you see that? I've heard a lot of press about it being bad, but do you feel that that's the right move? That, and I also want to clarify that if you are going to carry on those forms of public transportation, you do need to have a concealed carry permit, which a lot of people don't need to carry in other parts of the state. But how do you feel about HB 52?
Well, that's another bill I am a co-sponsor of. And yes, you are right. Even though we are a constitutional carry state, so I can use my constitutional rights to carry a gun concealed on my person walking down the street. However, this bill would say, look, you actually need to go through the classes and get the training if you're going to have this on public transit. So, you know, we've seen different reports from Adam Schnellting and Senator Bob Onder. Those are the two different sponsors in the House and Senate. Both are from St. Charles County. But we've seen reports from them that, you know, so many guns have already been recovered from individuals, criminals that are partaking in criminal acts on public transit, whether it's Metrolink, Bi-State Bus. So I think it's a common sense move. You know, the criminals are already not abiding by the law. We've seen many, many Missourians that have been victimized either on the buses, on Metrolink, or even at the bus stops or the Metrolink stop. So I think it's time that we actually allow Missourians that are trained to carry the weapons to defend themselves and their families, especially in an environment where St. Louis has had historic rates of violent crime. I think it's a no-brainer.
So,
well, do you think it's going to help the security? I'm sorry. Do you think it's going to help the security guards that do work on the Metrolink or on the public transportation that they will be able to carry possibly if they have that permit?
Well, that's going to actually have to go through that business. Whoever's providing the security, they're still going to have to allow that. Now, this will allow the general public. Now, when you look at the Aurora, Colorado shooting, I'm just going to use this one as an example. That deranged psychopath killer chose the only gun-free zone, the movie theater that was showing Batman that night. He didn't go to the closest ones to him, which actually allowed guns in there. Mm. So I think that there's going to be a lot of issues off of the back of security officers, since these criminals are going to not know. They're going to be deterred from partaking in crime and trying to hold people up. If now we know that you're going to have these people who are trained and may have firearms to defend themselves and their families. But I am encouraging, especially in light of a young man, a father, a former military veteran who lost his life. He was one of these security officers who a couple months back ended up losing his life, and he was not able to carry any type of firearm, or even if he had the training, and we know he had with the military experience that he had, he was unable because of that not being allowed by his employer.
Well, I'm glad you brought up this this bill, because it's another one along with SAPA that I think are important to the Second Amendment discussion. And Representative Schroer, I know you are a big supporter of that. My sort of final thought on this bill is the one about public transit is that my opinion is that if people know, as you just mentioned about the movie theaters, if bad guys know that people on Metrolink or buses or public transit may be armed, it's kind of like the ADT sign in front of somebody's house. Like, I'm going to find a softer target and just just the influence, just knowing that that is possible, I think, is a step in the right direction of making people safer. Do you agree?
Yeah, I definitely agree. And that's one of the reasons why I sponsored and joining Representative Ben Baker from the Neosho area. We both came together and we've ended up passing out of committee. It's waiting to get on the House calendar, allowing for concealed carry CCW holders in churches as well. And in committee, we brought that up, how, you know, people were targeting, whether it was South Carolina or in Texas, these churches, because they are soft targets. And what we saw in Texas was a CCW card holder. He was actually a NRA range trained just a badass who was able to stop the murderer in his tracks within, I think, about 6 seconds. So that's another bill that's getting some momentum. And then my bill that I know I've spoken about on Second Amendment Radio for about a year now. This year it's HB 501. It allows for medical marijuana cardholders to have their Second Amendment rights preserved and protected. And what this would do is just keep all of that private information out of the hands of the federal government, because even though we passed it, the voters approved it on the ballot, no matter what you think about it, it's law now, but the federal government still has it as a Schedule One drug. And what that means is when you go to fill out a form 4473 to go buy a new weapon, if you say that, yes, I am prescribed medical marijuana or I am using marijuana, you are unable to get that that weapon. Now, do they do that with any type of psychological medications? No. Do they do that with pain medications? No. So what we're trying to do is keep that information out of the hands of the federal government, so individuals such as our former military members that have PTSD, that they receive better help using medical marijuana instead of these psych drugs that are actually moving them more towards having these suicidal thoughts. We're trying to protect the rights of Missourians across the board, and I think that's one that's definitely gaining some bipartisan support here, and hopefully this year we're going to put up that big wall of freedom around Missouri so the federal government can't restrict those rights.
Representative, I live in the city, and I dread 4th of July and New Year's Eve because of the celebratory gunfire. Could you tell us a little bit about Blair's Law?
Yeah, so Blair's Law has been something I've definitely taken a massive interest in. I'm very passionate about this bill. In my first year, I saw a Democrat had this bill. And to me, it's just a common sense piece of legislation. Essentially, what this would do is strengthen the criminal penalties behind people negligently just celebrating and firing their weapons in the air. Now, I grew up in Ferguson, Missouri. For many years, we would have to go into the basement, me, my brothers and sister, because fear of these stray bullets coming down, even if it's, you know, miles away in Normandy or Jennings, or even in my own backyard, we had people right down the street that would do this. So this would strengthen the criminal penalties. And the reason it's called Blair's Law is about 10 years ago, an 11-year-old little girl out in the Kansas City area, she was minding her own business with her family. They were celebrating, didn't even hear the guns going off, and a stray bullet came down from 3 miles away and ended up killing this little girl who was 11. She'd be 21 this year. And me being a parent of two little girls, seeing this situation growing up as well in my own backyard, I thought that this is something that we definitely need to try and stop, especially in light of every single year you see, whether it's Instagram, Snapchat, all these social media outlets, you're able to see that this is happening in Kansas City, Columbia, St. Louis, and even in some of our rural areas. People have no regard for where that bullet's coming down, and we need to stop that. We need to promote gun safety, people, you know, actually using the tool as they should, being safe with it, and coming after the people who are being reckless with these tools.
That is Representative Nick Schroer. Always great talking with you, Representative. For people that want to keep an eye on the SAPA bill, the public transit, Blair's Law, all of these things that you guys are working on, what's the best way to keep up to speed on that? And what's the best way to follow you? Social media, websites, all that stuff.
Well, the new technology that we have here on the House, you're able to stay in touch with everything that we're doing at house.mo.gov. You can live stream the debate that we're having now on the floor. We're going to be having it through the night tonight. Or you can just go to my social media. I'm at Nick B. Schroer on Twitter. Or you can go to my website, Nick4Rep, all spelled out, Nick4Rep.com. And that'll hook you up to everything we're doing.
What are you guys debating tonight?
Right now, we're on some school choice, allowing for open enrollment on different school districts. I think we're going to be hitting the initiative petition reform, allowing for, trying to stop these outside millionaires from outside of the state of Missouri, who are able to just use their big pockets and change our Constitution, and not even having any stake in the game. So I think that's going to be a really hot button issue tonight, but we'll see.
Always great talking with you, Nick. Talk to you soon.
Yeah, God bless you guys. Bye-bye.
All right, let's take another quick break and be back with professional fisherman Mike Marfell on Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. I can't hear it.
Look here, girls. Take this advice and remember always in life.
Welcome back to Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors.
I surprise you once in a while.
You did. Tony Colombo here with producer Carl Middleman.
Hello.
And my partner Bo Matthews.
Present.
Too many fish in the sea, in reference, of course, to our next guest. Professional fisherman Mike Marfell joins us on the line. Mike, always great to talk with you, buddy. I think, with this weather that we have had, a lot of people, you know, it's a little crappy out there this weekend, but this past week was beautiful, and a lot of people have that feeling about getting back outside and getting back on the water and enjoying the great outdoors. Oh, you know what? Before we talk to Mike, whenever we're talking about the great outdoors here on the show, it's, of course, brought to you by
Razorback Armory. They are your full-service firearm shop that strives to be the area's premier destination for firearm enthusiasts. If you are looking for a suppressor, they're your people. Go in and talk to Brad, Jesse, and Kenny. They'll take good care of you. Find directions and more information about them at RazorbackArmory.com. And when you go in, tell them Bo sent you.
Mm-hmm. And now it's a good time to talk to Mike Marfell. Mike, how's it going, dude?
Oh, it's been rough, buddy. The only thing I've been out of bed for since Monday has been high school bass fishing, coaching, and talking to you guys.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
When it comes to the great outdoors, I'm dedicated. I've been spiking fevers, and it's been horrible.
Oh, jeez.
To take all this time off between my Toyota Series last weekend and my two upcoming tournaments this weekend from work to lay in bed and shiver when it's been 70 degrees and sunny has been just... That's been the hardest part.
That's true torture. That's true torture.
Because I could have just stayed at the lake and stayed on the fish all the way up to this tournament, and because they're moving a lot right now.
Well, what's going on with you, man? Are you sick?
Oh, it burns when I pee, Bo. I got a urinary tract.
Oh boy, urinary. That's
pro fisherman.
One, if you've ever had one, you don't want. You know what it's like, and if you haven't, you don't want one.
Mm. No. That's no good.
If men had to give birth, we'd be extinct in at least a generation, maybe two.
Ouch. Ouch. Well, I hope you start feeling better, buddy. How many tournaments do you have under your belt this year?
Just the one.
Just the
We've
one?
All been frozen out.
How'd it go?
And Tony, you will not believe this.
Uh-huh.
I got down there on Friday, two weeks ago Friday.
Time means nothing.
And it, it does. You're right, Carl. And you had to break ice every morning on the main lake. The first day I was on the water, I had to idle 6 miles and finally gave up when I seen an open patch and just started fishing. it would freeze back over every night because the water was still so cold in that main lake. Every morning of the tournament, once we got to tournament day, a week went by of this, of idling in the. So making practice very, very difficult.
Yeah.
You're basically fishing ice off every day. And, when I'd run to my first spot in the morning, I'd have to do figure eights to bust up the ice so we could fish.
Wow.
It was incredibly tough. A lot of the big time pros, the touring pros, zeroed. I felt pretty good having one fish on the first day for 4 or 5.
No kidding.
I was, middle of the field with one decent fish.
Right.
Which led me down chasing a ghost.
The ice wasn't that thick, though, right? It didn't damage your boat.
Ripped off my keel guard on day one. Another pro tip, back into your dock so you can go out back. When it's going to freeze because it'll grab your keel guard and just peel it like a banana.
So as people are listening to this on the radio on the weekend, are you fishing right now?
No, I was if I wasn't in bed, I would be down there right now. Gotcha. I am leaving probably later tonight or tomorrow morning. Just depends on how things shape up.
So right, right. But as this airs so on
I
the
have
weekend,
two tournaments there. I have a BFL and then I have a Anglers in Action this weekend.
Right,
and the fishing should be dynamite.
Gotcha.
It
but
really
that's
should.
That's this weekend, right? So as
yes,
we're talking,
yes.
It's before the weekend. But as people are hearing this, it's the weekend.
You're
so
already
you
there.
Should. You're down there.
There.
Yeah, exactly.
And my tournament was the previous weekend, the March. It was Thursday, Friday, Saturday, March 3rd, 4th, and 5th. I
gotcha.
Guess it was.
Gotcha.
Which, hey, Tony, mm-hmm. I love, I mean, it was the big time. That was, when you say pro fisherman, that was it. That, I mean.
Nice.
You don't have to be a pro. You don't have to carry a card. You got to have $1,700 and you're a pro. But the competition level was insane. I mean, I was basically parking my boat between guys that have been heroes of mine since I was a kid kind of thing.
And, that's awesome.
And you had all the local pros. And to see the kid that won it, 21 years old, works at the tackle shop down there at Osage Beach, and just waxed everybody's booty.
That's awesome.
People were struggling to get a bite, and he had over 20 pounds every day.
Wow.
And you know what did
wow.
it?
Experience.
Forward-facing sonar.
Oh, wow. Nice.
Forward-facing sonar. He watched every bite on an Alabama rig, and I had convinced myself it was too cold for an Alabama rig. You know, you didn't want something moving. You want something setting still when the water's that cold.
Yeah.
A suspending jerkbait or a jig on the bottom. And that kid proved me wrong big time.
Wow.
So
people
did you
always learn
over your heroes?
No, not really. I've fished with them in the back of their boat before, a few of them, and against them a handful of times. But it's just really cool. You know, guys you've been watching, seeing on TV and other things for years, you know. So you try not to, because they are regular dudes by far. I mean, they're not. There's not a lot of prima donna going on in the outdoor world, as you know. So,
Mike, we've only got a few minutes left on the show. If people are going to get out this weekend and do some fishing, or they're going to get out very soon this time of year, what are some basic tips? What are some basic things that people should be looking for? What's the way to be successful at this point of the season?
Depending on your size of the body of water, but if you're at Lake of the Ozarks with that big water and it's just now warming up, they're moving back to spawn, and they're moving every single day. They're getting closer. You're going to be looking for those transition banks that are chunk rock to pea gravel, or chunk rock to boulder, boulder to pea gravel, that sort of thing. You know, just imagine they're starting at the mouth and they're making their way back to those spawning flats. So that's kind of the transitions that they make, and they're going to be tight to the bank for the most part. They're going to be in 3 to 6 foot of water, and, they're, you know, jig, jerkbait, spinnerbait, obviously the Alabama rig. Now, when I say that Alabama rig, you can't just go out there. That guy that won it was, like I said, he was counting it down, watching it go through the fish, watching the fish follow it kind of thing on forward-facing sonar. That's a whole nother level.
No kidding.
And but that's the basics. I mean, there'll still be some on the main lake points, but and the secondary points. But those bass are moving back, and they're wanting to eat. Like, this is the sad part. I didn't make the final day on Saturday, and me and the 10 horse went out and did some filming on Saturday, and we waxed their booty on Saturday. I mean, we didn't catch a lot of giants, but we caught 35 fish, probably 7 or 8 keepers. You know, very frustrating. And I was in eye shot of the places I was fishing the day before in the tournament. That was the frustrating. I missed it by a quarter mile, here or there.
Mike, if people want to see what you and 10 Horse work on, if they want to get more of this information and hear more of these stories and learn more about, you know, the right things to do when they're out there on the water, what are the ways they can do that?
They can do it at 10horsemonty.com. That's T-I-N, Horse Monty. And also the Bass Monday Night Live stream every Monday night on YouTube channel, Monday Night Live.
Mm-hmm.
It's him and Backyard Bass. And their most recent guest was Shaw Grigsby. So they're getting big time. I might not ever get back on the show.
But, you're big time to us.
Yeah, thanks. But yeah, it's incredible information. And the video from day one of the Toyota series at Lake of the Ozarks just dropped yesterday. So if you're heading down to the lake this weekend, you can check that out and get a feel. Just like you were there last weekend, even though you weren't. Bo, and you didn't have to rip up your bottom of your boat to do it.
Yeah. Bo, you just said it off the air. That's priceless info, and it's what?
It's free on Second Amendment Radio on the Great Outdoors.
Got that right.
I'm telling you, man, that's some great stuff.
It is. Good stuff. Good stuff from Mike Marfell. Mike, wish we had more time. We'll get you back on real soon. Good luck this weekend, and we'll check back in with you and see how it went.
All right. Thanks, guys. Check out that YouTube channel. We'll make some more videos this weekend.
Yeah, we'll do. We'll be talking to you, and we'll be checking you out on YouTube. That is Mike Marfell. If you missed anything from today's show, including this conversation that we just had with Mike, don't forget our podcast. You can get the Second Amendment Radio podcast anywhere you get podcasts. Usually we have a podcast exclusive for you. This week we only have the show podcast, but usually it's two podcasts a week for you to check out. The radio.com app is the best way to get those podcasts. For my producer Carl Middleman and my partner Bo Matthews, I'm Tony Colombo. Thank you so much for listening. We'll see you back here next week for another edition of Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors.
See you, boys.
Get more at 971talk.com.
Look here, girls. Take this advice and remember always in life. No use crying forever, eat coffee. Mm-hmm. Too
deficiency, I said. Welcome back to Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors.
I surprise you once in a while.
You did. Tony Colombo here with producer Carl Middleman.
Hello.
And my partner Bo Matthews.
Present.
Too many fish in the sea, in reference, of course, to our next guest, professional fisherman Mike Marfell joins us on the line. Mike, always great to talk with you, buddy. I think, you know, with this weather that we have had, a lot of people, you know, it's a little crappy out there this weekend, but this past week was beautiful, and a lot of people have that feeling about getting back outside and getting back on the water and enjoying the great outdoors. Oh, you know what? Before we talk to Mike, whenever we're talking about the great outdoors here on the show, it's, of course, brought to you by
Razorback Armory. They are your full-service firearm shop that strives to be the area's premier destination for firearm enthusiasts. If you are looking for a suppressor, they're your people. Go in and talk to Brad, Jesse, and Kenny. They'll take good care of you. Find directions and more information about them at RazorbackArmory.com. And when you go in, tell them Bo sent you.
Mm-hmm. And now it's a good time to talk to Mike Marfell. Mike, how's it going, dude?
Oh, it's been rough, buddy. The only thing I've been out of bed for in the last, since Monday, has been high school bass fishing, coaching, and talking to you guys.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
When it comes to the great outdoors, I'm dedicated. I've been spiking fevers, and it's been horrible.
Oh, jeez.
To take all this time off between my Toyota Series last weekend and my two upcoming tournaments this weekend from work to lay in bed and shiver when it's been 70 degrees and sunny has been just... That's been the hardest part.
Oh,
Fight through it.
That's true torture. That's true torture.
Because I could have just stayed at the lake and stayed on the fish all the way up to this tournament, and you know, because they're moving a lot right now.
Well, so, what's going on with you, man? Are you sick?
Oh, it burns when I pee, Bo. I got a urinary.
Oh boy, urinary. That's
pro fisherman.
One, if you've ever had one, you don't want. You know what it's like, and if you haven't, you don't want one.
Mm. No. That's no good.
If men had to give birth, we'd be extinct in at least a generation, maybe two.
Ouch. Ouch. Well, I hope you start feeling better, buddy. How many tournaments do you have under your belt this year?
Just the one.
Just the
We've
one?
All been frozen out.
How'd it go?
And Tony, you will not believe this.
Uh-huh.
I got down there on Friday, two weeks ago Friday.
Time means nothing.
It does. You're right, Carl. And you had to break ice every morning on the main lake. The first day I was on the water, I had to idle 6 miles and finally gave up when I seen an open patch and just started fishing. It would freeze back over every night because the water was still so cold in that main lake. Every morning of the tournament, once we got to tournament day, a week went by of this, of idling in the. So making practice very, very difficult.
Yeah.
You're basically fishing ice off every day. When I'd run to my first spot in the morning, I'd have to do figure eights to bust up the ice so we could fish.
Wow.
It was incredibly tough. A lot of the big time pros, the touring pros, zeroed. I felt pretty good having one fish on the first day for four or five.
No kidding.
I was, middle of the field with one decent fish.
Right.
Which led me down chasing a ghost. Which led me chasing ice. Ghost.
The ice wasn't that thick, though, right? It didn't damage your boat.
Ripped off my keel guard on day one. Another pro tip, back into your dock so you can go out back. When it's going to freeze because it'll grab your keel guard and just peel it like a banana.
So if people are listening to this on the radio on the weekend, are you fishing right now?
No, if I wasn't in bed, I would be down there right now. Gotcha. I am leaving probably later tonight or tomorrow morning. Just depends on how things shape up. So
right. But as this airs on the weekend.
I have two tournaments there. I have a BFL and then I have Anglers in Action this weekend.
Right.
And the fishing should be dynamite.
Gotcha. But that's this weekend, right? So as we're talking, it's before the weekend. But as people are hearing this, it's the weekend. You're down there.
There.
Yeah, exactly.
And my tournament was the previous weekend, the March. It was Thursday, Friday, Saturday, March 3rd, 4th, and 5th.
Gotcha.
Which, hey, Tony, it was the big time. That was, when you say pro fisherman, that was it.
Nice.
You don't have to be a pro. You don't have to carry a card. You got to have $1,700 and you're a pro. But the competition level was insane. I mean, I basically park in my boat between guys that have been heroes of mine since I was a kid kind of thing.
And that's awesome.
And you had all the local pros. And to see the kid that won it, 21 years old, works at the tackle shop down there at Osage Beach, and just waxed everybody's booty.
That's awesome.
People were struggling to get a bite, and he had over 20 pounds every day.
Wow.
And you know what did it?
Experience.
Forward-facing sonar.
Oh, nice.
Forward-facing sonar. He watched every bite on an Alabama rig, and I had convinced myself it was too cold for an Alabama rig. You know, you didn't want something moving. You want something setting still when the water's that cold.
Yeah.
A suspending jerkbait or a jig on the bottom. And that kid proved me wrong big time.
Wow.
So did you fangirl over your heroes?
No, not really. I've fished with them in the back of their boat before, a few of them, and against them a handful of times. But it's just really cool. You know, guys you've been watching, seeing on TV and other things for years, you know. So you try not to, because they are regular dudes by far. I mean, they're not. There's not a lot of prima donna going on in the outdoor world, as you know. So
Mike, we've only got a few minutes left on the show. If people are going to get out this weekend and do some fishing, or they're going to get out very soon this time of year, what are some basic tips? What are some basic things that people should be looking for? What's the way to be successful at this point of the season?
Depending on your size of the body of water, but if you're at Lake of the Ozarks with that big water and it's just now warming up, they're moving back to spawn, and they're moving every single day. They're getting closer. You're going to be looking for those transition banks that are chunk rock to pea gravel, or chunk rock to boulder, boulder to pea gravel, that sort of thing. You know, just imagine they're starting at the mouth and they're making their way back to those spawning flats. So that's kind of the transitions that they make, and they're going to be tight to the bank for the most part. They're going to be in 3 to 6 foot of water, and, they're, you know, jig, jerkbait, spinnerbait, obviously the Alabama rig. Now, when I say that Alabama rig, you can't just go out there. That guy that won it was, like I said, he was counting it down, watching it go through the fish, watching the fish follow it kind of thing on forward-facing sonar. That's a whole nother level.
No kidding.
And but that's the basics. I mean, there'll still be some on the main lake points and the secondary points. But those bass are moving back, and they're wanting to eat. Like, this is the sad part. I didn't make the final day on Saturday, and me and the 10 horse went out and did some filming on Saturday, and we waxed their booty on Saturday. I mean, we didn't catch a lot of giants, but we caught 35 fish, probably 7 or 8 keepers, you know, very frustrating. And I was in eye shot of the places I was fishing the day before in the tournament. That was the frustrating. I missed it by a quarter mile here or there.
Mike, if people want to see what you and 10 Horse work on, if they want to get more of this information and hear more of these stories and learn more about, you know, the right things to do when they're out there on the water, what are the ways they can do that?
They can do it at 10horsemonty.com. That's T-I-N, Horse Monty. And also the Bass Monday Night Live stream every Monday night on YouTube channel, Monday Night Live. Mm-hmm. It's him and Backyard Bass, and their most recent guest was Shaw Grigsby. So they're getting big time. I might not ever get back on the show.
But, you're big time to us.
Yeah, thanks. But yeah, it's incredible information. And the video from day one of the Toyota series at Lake of the Ozarks just dropped yesterday. So if you're heading down to the lake this weekend, you can check that out and get a feel. Just like you were there last weekend, even though you weren't. Bo, and you didn't have to rip up your bottom of your boat to do it.
Yeah. Bo, you just set it off the air. That's priceless info, and it's what?
It's free on Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors.
Got that right.
I'm telling you, man, that's some great stuff.
It is. Good stuff. Good stuff from Mike Marfell. Mike, wish we had more time. We'll get you back on real soon. Good luck this weekend, and we'll check back in with you and see how it went.
All right. Thanks, guys. Check out that YouTube channel. We'll make some more videos this weekend.
Yeah, we'll do. We'll be talking to you, and we'll be checking you out on YouTube. That is Mike Marfell. If you missed anything from today's show, including this conversation that we just had with Mike, don't forget our podcast. You can get the Second Amendment Radio podcast anywhere you get podcasts. Usually we have a podcast exclusive for you. This week we only have the show podcast, but usually it's two podcasts a week for you to check out. The radio.com app is the best way to get those podcasts. For my producer Carl Middleman and my partner Bo Matthews, I'm Tony Colombo. Thank you so much for listening. We'll see you back here next week for another edition of Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors.
See you, boys.
Get more at 971talk.com.